This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When it comes to insurance, USAA is the perfect first-round pick. That's because bundling auto with property insurance saves you money. And USAA is your go-to for great rates and insurance options. Visit usaa.com/bundle to see what you can save. Bundle savings are off total premium, not available in all states or in all situations. To qualify, auto policy must be active prior to property policy issue. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas. This episode is brought to you by USAA Auto Insurance. When it comes to auto insurance, USAA is the perfect first-round pick. With USAA, you get award-winning service that's easy and reliable with 24/7 online claims. For our military community, it's the service that goes above and beyond at a great value. Get a quote at usaa.com/auto. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Thursday, February 27th, the Fantasy Footballers, Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. I saw you check your watch, Jason. Were you confirming the date?
I was indeed confirming the date. I didn't realize we were this close to the end of the month.
Do you feel like you know when February is going to end, like inherently, like you know how long it's going to be?
I know it's going to be 28 days, okay. And I know that definitively 4 out of every 4 years. So quarter of the time I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know when, and I don't really care. I don't care when I'm wrong. Like, if I wake up to, you know, on the 29th and it's not the first, I'm like, okay.
You're cool with that.
Yeah, I don't care.
What happened?
Oh, my gosh. I already tore the calendar page off.
Do you know how many this year?
28, this yeah.
That's what he guesses every year. This is not a leap year.
Exactly.
Right, right. So Saturday, March 1st, arrives, which is the deadline, the final day for the Ultimate Draft Kit giveaway. We're going to give away a spot in the Listener League. As long as you have the Ultimate Draft Kit pre-ordered by then, you will be entered to win a Listener League spot, and you'll get some other sweet perks. The Dynasty Pass available right now, so you want to get over there, ultimatedraftkit.com. And again, if you are an Ultimate member of Join the Foot, you already have the UDK, and you're already entered to win.
Yeah, but you go check it out because it's an amazing resource, and we've got more and more information coming on the rookies. There will be a new drop after the Combine, which is coming up. I mean, any minute now. The Combine's this weekend, right?
So, right now.
Yeah, I mean, not really.
Oh,
he
checked his watch again.
Yeah, the Combine's.
You have Combine
that's
notes
double,
on your watch?
That's a second check of the watch. How much of your life is run by that watch? Is that a teleprompter?
Way too much. If I'm talking to someone,
looking at my watch.
I feel so rude because if they're not used to like the notifications on the watch, it looks like I'm looking at the time. Like, you know, can we move this along?
You know, you can also like not look at the notifications.
That's true.
Oh, can't do it. Oh, there's another one.
Like, I would say
it feels worse having to explain that you're getting. I'm sorry. I'm only interrupting for a notification, not a time check.
Yeah.
Someone far more important to you is trying to get a hold of me.
It could be. I don't know until I check.
Oh, it's not. You get to keep going.
And there he is again. We thought we were going to do a 10 things to remember episode, but
couldn't remember.
We are pushing that to Tuesday because we have some of the coaching changes, OC news that we didn't get to. And then there's a ton of NFL news to talk about as well. So, we're going to tackle the remaining coaching changes and get through the news, answer some questions. And then next week we'll do our, famous 10 things to remember episode. So I know we'll have some good stuff to share. Do you even remember last year at all anymore?
Yeah, barely, which is why we need to do this show quick.
All right, so a reminder, you can find us on X at the FF Ballers, Instagram.com/fantasyfootballers as well. Let's jump right into the news.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, Khalil Shakir, 4-year contract with the Buffalo Bills.
Worth
up to $60 million.
They get, what, his guarantee was like 30-something. Am I remembering that correct?
I didn't see the guarantee. You can look that up. But I think, you know, obviously for Dynasty, this is always great when you've got a guy
32 guaranteed, yeah,
that gets an extension. But, he had a very good fantasy season. He was reliable, impactful in certain games for being someone that you come in not really drafting, you know, in half of leagues was undrafted. And this is a commitment from the Bills as an organization that he is an important part of their offense. That to me is just nice to know that if they bring in another wide receiver, which I think they will, I think they need to, they see Khalil Shakir as a really core, like his role is kind of entrenched to me that he's going to keep doing it next year. And this was he had 100 targets.
Yeah, I like Khalil Shakir. I think he will probably always be a player that's more valuable to Josh Allen than he is to fantasy managers. But when we were doing the offseason discussions and Curtis Samuel was making headlines and they were trying to figure out who the next man up would be, clearly Shakir stepped into that role and more than doubled his target total, career high, had 76 receptions in 15 games. 821 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Well, those hips don't lie, man.
Oh, is that a
swish?
It's a Shakira thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. You're really, really
watch,
doing well today.
Your watch didn't warn you on that one?
Nope.
Okay.
Bad joke incoming.
You gave blood again, didn't you?
Oh no.
Mike McDaniel said Tyreek Hill had surgery to repair a ligament in his wrist. Matthew Betts, our injury expert extraordinaire, should be cleared for training camp.
We did also get a full, I don't remember what, it was somewhat recent, a full reversal from Tyreek Hill. If you remember, after the season, it was, I am out of here. Miami is not where I will be playing. You guys are a bunch of chumps. It softened a week or so later, and then we've had the full, no, I'm going to be in Miami doing my thing.
What percentage of fantasy football players will use the wrist ligament injury to absolve Tyreek Hill of his one half as good season and give him a...
I don't think anyone is going to give him a complete free pass.
What about justification to draft him higher than he should be?
Yeah, I mean, that will be the justification used because you have to justify it. He was not good. He didn't miss games, and he was, you know, like you said, almost half as many yards as the season prior. I think when you pull the trigger and draft him where he's going, which is, to me, I'm still surprised how high he is being drafted.
He is wide receiver 12 right now in best ball.
Exactly. I will not.
You would not do that.
I will not take him at wide receiver 12.
I mean,
12 seems okay,
I think that's
to me.
Okay. He was still.
Give me some names around that, though.
He was still good. You had to throw the draft capital away once we got here, but it's like week one, 20-plus fantasy points. Tua gets hurt. He's gone for a month or so, and then over the, you know, like from week 8 on, he's still very usable. It just number one or number two wide receiver.
Would you rather have Tyreek Hill on your roster or Garrett Wilson right now?
Tyreek.
Garrett.
JSN?
JSN.
Tyreek.
DJ Moore?
DJ Moore.
I think that one's DJ Moore.
It will be hard, I think, for a lot of people to pass on Tyreek.
Yeah.
Because you know the upside is still, I mean, if you believe that it could be there.
Let me put it this way.
Break the records and then justify the problems with injury and then.
Mike, you said, so from week 8 on, right, Tua's back and he was
usable. Yes.
So in a points per game from weeks 8 on, he was the wide receiver 27. He's usable. That's not someone that you're not going to throw in your flex or not going to even have as your wide receiver too. But that's not someone I'm drafting at wide receiver 12, when I'm building my roster. Now, obviously, if this year was a blip on the map and he bounces back in a significant way because he's Tyreek Hill and he's the fastest man on the planet, great. You'll be happy you made that pick. But it's very rare for aging wide receivers over the age of 30 to have a down season and then be like, I'm back,
yeah, no,
baby.
I won't be in on that. I mean, the idea of a bounce back, he'll be 31 when he plays this year. A full bounce back, no. But, I mean...
And part of it is the change of the system. You don't have Tua stepping back and airing the ball down the field where Tyreek Hill thrived. Once he was back from his concussion injury, he's just get the ball out of his hands as quick as possible. And plenty of targets to Tyreek Hill, but those aren't going to be the same value.
Yeah, and if the offensive line doesn't get fixed in Miami, they won't have time.
And it's already
even if they want to switch back. What's the next bit of news we have? Steelers general manager Omar Khan said the team will tender running back Jalen Warren. Mike, maybe take a second and explain
sure.
what that means to those that are not familiar with that terminology.
Yeah, so he is a restricted free agent. We're talking about Jalen Warren, which means that the team can the Steelers are the team that they're negotiating with the first. Jalen Warren will be able to go out and talk to other teams and get a contract offer from them, and then the Steelers will be able to say, like, we're either going to match certain things, and based off, there's different levels of tender of saying, like, this is the compensation that we will get back if another team steals him from us, because with the tender, then we're saying, we're going to give him this amount of money. Are you going to beat that? Essentially is how it will work.
This says to me...
But we saw that. We haven't heard anything on Najee yet, so this is the team saying... We're at least actively going to do it. Now, it might be original, and I think...
That's an RFA tender, right?
Well, I'm saying original...
For Warren.
An original round, which Jalen Warren was an undrafted player, so it's not like... This isn't a heavy investment, but at least they're giving us some signal that they want him back.
It says to me that Jalen Warren will be back on the Steelers, like almost definitively, because the free agent marketplace for running backs this offseason... considering how strong the draft class is, I don't think general managers are going to
right.
go out and spend a ton of money for a player like Jalen Warren. They'll want him on the roster. They'll make him a reasonable contract offer. But a reasonable contract offer is something that will be matched by the Steelers.
The original round tag, I'm seeing $3.19 million.
Okay. Is that for a undrafted player?
That's the that's not the second round tender would be $5.2 million.
Okay.
Original round tag would be 3.1. Kyle, am I getting that right? That's what I'm
His
seeing.
His undrafted status might make it different.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
We'll see if anybody wants to bring him in. It's such a deep running back class in the draft. Yeah, look, the Steelers are not right now on offense. It's kind of a demoralizing picture to me.
Mm-hmm.
You have two free agent running backs. You have two free agent quarterbacks. You have one wide receiver, which I don't think it's even mentioned in the news yet, but there's the talk of George Pickens holding in. And, you know, George Pickens has been a boisterous fellow.
If anyone's going to hold in, it's George Pickens.
It just feels like they could – they could commit to the same level of kind of fantasy football and NFL football malaise on offense, or you could rebuild the whole thing. You could bring in a different quarterback and inject some excitement, but right now it feels weird. All right, we have news from the Bengals. This is Combine Buzz, but the Bengals, their own executive, Duke Tobin, says that Ja'Marr Chase will, quote, be the number one highest paid non-QB yep. in the NFL. Which is what he wanted to be last year.
The Bengals committed a pretty big whoopsie-doozles. The T. Higgins one last year, I get it. You're as a franchise, you're not sure you want to commit to this guy who's been good on the field, but is he worth the money? He keeps getting hurt a lot. Ja'Marr Chase, on the other hand, was, what are you doing? You're going, unless Ja'Marr Chase plays this year and has a career-ending injury, you're going to back the truck up. You're going to give them all that cash. And when you wait a year, now that cash has increased.
Let me think for a second, though.
Okay.
Help me work through this and tell me why I'm stupid. If you wait on Ja'Marr Chase a year, and yes, you're paying him a more significant per year salary, yes, but you didn't pay it to him last year, right? So you spread out the savings.
It would have been an additional. Like his fifth, his whatever contract he was on, like it would have been additional years on that.
But you're, but what you are doing is you're getting a year on the back end at today's rate that you would have had to renegotiate another long-term deal with him at the end of this contract at tomorrow's rate.
It's one of those things,
you know,
where
I'm saying?
Do you
I
care?
Do
does the franchise care more about the cap number and competitiveness or about the money that they are losing when they pay players?
Right.
A lot of times. So they saved money. They saved cash out the door by not paying him last year and getting it started early.
Yes,
but they
like in the owner's pockets.
Exactly.
They saved
right.
money. Yes.
But from a cap standpoint, now they are going to have a larger cap number to deal with. Okay. Than they would have had if they did it last year. So then you just go back to the top and say, is this a good organization? When I say good organization, I mean, is this a win at all costs, you know, what the fans want? And no, the Bengals
but
are not.
I'm saying, yeah, the cap has gone up, which all the players know that. And all the player agents know that. They'll say, you know, you have more room. You're going to give us more.
Oh, he's going to get paid
Ja'Marr
so
Chase,
much more now.
Ja'Marr Chase 100% made more money by not getting the extension last year. But he will. Ja'Marr will get it, and the conversations from Bengals officials that we're hearing from the combine, like on T. Higgins, on Hendrickson, like it went from last year of them being like it's impossible. We can't. There's no way we can't do this. To now, like, we better get this done.
Yeah, the
and
NFL
and Burrow is definitely helping.
The us. NFLPA, you know, had their annual. What is it like the team grades?
Yeah, the
based
report
upon
cards.
Yeah, the report cards based upon the players in the building. They grade a bunch of different things. I think it's like 1 through 10 on a million different avenues, and then they get a letter grade on those. The treatment of families. The Cincinnati Bengals were self graded as an F-. Food dining room F. So this is, you know,
ownership a C though, and A for the head coach who you don't like.
I don't think that the players don't like him.
Okay.
And I don't think he's a bad head coach, but I do think he limits them from going. He's not a great head coach.
What's funny is if you just lock up those four players, Burrow locked up,
mm-hmm.
Higgins, Chase, and Hendrickson, those four players, as long as they're on that team, they will be relevant every single year.
Correct.
Here on out, no matter what the peripheral pieces are, genuinely, an elite pass rusher, an elite quarterback, and two elite pass catchers. I would
counter argue that by saying they had all four of those players have awesome seasons last year and they did not make the playoffs.
No, but I did not say make the playoffs.
Okay.
I said stay
relevant.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
They were a much better team than the record last year. They lost a bunch of one score games, dumb, stupid games that they shouldn't have lost. And then they still missed the playoffs barely at the end of the season. It's just, you're going to make, this is the thing, the message you might send to ownership. You're going to make more money.
Yeah, there
you're
going to
make more money if you have the best players on your team instead of living
also,
in the basement.
You have enough money.
Right.
Yeah.
You're fine, dude.
Yeah.
You're fine. Your children's.
Yeah, but what about
their
children?
They're also fine.
Okay.
Also,
okay.
you have literally infinite money.
It is different.
Win for your city.
It is different now. To have them come out in the offseason right away and say Chase will be the number one highest paid player. There's no more negotiating in the media. There's no more funny business.
But so, I mean, the number that I'm seeing floated is averaging 40.
Yes.
And so last year, Justin Jefferson got his contract. And then immediately it was, okay, well, what's Chase going to be? Is Chase going to be slightly under? Is it going to be at it? And I'm looking at Spotrac. Jefferson's average salary is 35.
Ja'Marr Chase is so good that I feel like I should contribute some money myself because he's on my fantasy team towards the money he deserves to get paid.
I bet the billionaire owner he'd take your money.
Yeah, he would. He
all
would,
right.
Absolutely.
There's still constant chatter with the Rams and what they're going to do organizationally at quarterback. They've given Matthew Stafford the opportunity to go out there and find either a trade or a contract type of offer that would maybe make a trade conducive. Just to show what his market value is, there was a New York Daily News report about, and we should talk about this, about Aaron Rodgers preferring to play for the Rams, obviously a California kid, the possibility of him bringing Davante Adams there. We talked about Adams. Adams wants to play in California. And, you know, also them potentially being comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Also, Ian Rappaport
tweeting
out 6 minutes ago.
Do I need the button?
Sure.
Come on, man.
Breaking news.
Raiders minority owner Tom Brady and the Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford ran into each other at a ski resort in Montana.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. You don't randomly.
Oh, well, you're here too.
Off the beaten path a little bit.
What are the odds? Anyways.
Well, since I got you.
Are you still playing quarterback?
So, I mean, obviously he's been given permission to go and test the market, see what the value is.
I think he's not, I have been on record. I do not think he's going back.
It's so weird. I feel like it is so weird what the Rams are doing here.
You express confidence. So the Rams won with Goff. And then the Rams have the established offensive operation to bring in. It's kind of like the 49ers with Shanahan, right? You can bring players in. You express confidence in if Sam Darnold was the guy, you'd think he would succeed.
For fantasy, yes.
Okay, for fantasy.
And as a team, they will succeed. But will they? Can they win a Super Bowl with Darnold?
Jimmy Garoppolo was a starter.
Right.
I could see an NFL team. I could see Sean McVay believing that what they have in Jimmy Garoppolo would be fine.
Well, that's
would be enough.
That's what's been reported, is that they are confident in Jimmy Garoppolo as their starter if they need to be.
And so then Rodgers and Garoppolo, maybe they view, look, Stafford's 37. He'll be 38. Like, this is not going to, no matter what, we're having this conversation at some point soon. It's just a matter of whether the Rams want to spend $50 million on Matthew Stafford for a couple of years, or they want to spend it elsewhere on the team and rebuild and reframe the organization. And the best teams do figure out a way to turn over the quarterback. The 49ers have done it three or four times while winning. I just buy into it. And I don't think the circus around Stafford, which it is,
it's
not all coming from him, but his circle, it makes a lot of noise and press.
Yeah, and it is nasty dynasty season. Speaking of Jimmy Garoppolo,
oh, yeah.
You should go see if he's on your waiver wire.
Right.
Because he's not on ours.
Oh, you.
Of course they picked him up.
You know what?
Why would you not pick up McVay?
He used to be on my team in that league.
Yeah.
And then he became a backup.
And look, Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, I
the
bet.
The odds are not with you.
I bet we're talking low percentage odds. But right now, this is when you got to be making those small, low percentage odds moves.
Tell you who you don't need to pick up. Gronk.
Well, we'll talk about that in just a second. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with some more news.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. When draft time rolls around, you have to be strategic and you have to be quick to put together the best possible team. Like with football players, when you're drafting a quarterback, there are so many things that you need. You need an athletic guy. You need a guy who can process information. He's got a strong arm. Maybe he can run around a little bit. There's so many things, and finding the exact right one, very difficult. But if you're hiring, the best strategy is to use Indeed. Their sponsored jobs will help you stand out. It literally puts your job post at the top of the page so you can reach the people you want faster. And even better, you're only paying for results. There's no monthly subscriptions or long-term contracts. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Listeners of this show, we'll get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/footballers. That's Indeed.com/footballers right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/footballers. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Let's talk flags for a moment. Not the kinds the refs pull on the field. I'm talking about something else. Green flags in relationships, stuff you look for in a partner. You know, for me, you want to look for enjoying being around them. You want to look for shared common traits. It's different for everybody. Relationships take effort. And if you want to make things work, I'd suggest therapy. It's a great tool that can help you navigate all sorts of relationship problems. And therapy can help you tackle other problems too. I've had therapy for years, and you go through highs and you go through lows. Sometimes you're stressed. Sometimes things are going well. And it's really nice to be able to talk about both of those things to help empower you to be the best version of yourself. An excellent place to start when it comes to therapy is BetterHelp. It's convenient and affordable since everything is online, and you'll have access to thousands of therapists with a variety of specialties. And if your first one isn't a good fit, you can switch at any time at no extra cost. Discover your relationship green flags with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
Well, we'll be talking about another tight end here in a second. But, Jason, before the break, you mentioned...
It was floating around that Gronk was...
Gronk is AI.
Yes. Rob Gronkowski was training for a return.
It's a different kind of AI, man.
That he was training for a return to the NFL. And then he put those rumors to bed.
Gronk, said, can we get Gronk AI?
It's
Gronk. Hey, dude, tell me about this. Yo soy fiesta.
I don't know exactly.
Gronk
Google
AI.
It. So, yeah, no Gronk return, but
at the very least, when, you know, the voice portion of Gronk needs to have a Gronk
version.
Just let him do the talking.
Chiefs updates from general manager Brett Veach, anticipating Travis Kelce back and playing in 2025. They also reported that he had been dealing with a big illness before the Super Bowl. I don't know how I could keep that genuinely. I don't know how I could keep it under wraps if it were me. I've thought about this. Like, there have been times where you hear that a player has had an injury that they played through. I think I am too weak that I would want the world to know immediately why I sucked.
Everyone is that way.
If Kelce sucked in the Super Bowl, I'd be like, yeah, I had the flu.
No, you can't say it. You have to go to the – because everyone has to talk after the game. You show up and just Kleenex balled up in your hands. You're like, it's you.
I mean,
it's you. That's the only way you can do it. Because if you come out and you're like,
I'm making no excuses. Yes.
We won't know officially until March 14th.
The way that this story has moved around with Kelce is also super weird. The way that he came out and talked about it, and then yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever it was, you had the report that, we knew right away that he was coming back and was fired up. I still don't think we have a real answer yet.
Yeah, March 14th is the start of the new league year, and the last day to remove him from the roster before he earns $11.5 million in a roster bonus.
Oof.
So, and the Kansas City Chiefs also said they would like to look to get Hollywood Brown back.
That one makes
which
sense.
Which is the same phrase they said the entire year.
Yeah, but
to get him back.
When Hollywood was on the field, their offense was better.
I don't know if you watched the comments from general manager.
I only read them.
Chris Ballard. I watched it, you know, just talking about the Colts quarterback room last offseason was a lot of Anthony Richardson discussions about his potential for fantasy. It didn't work out. And the team is talking about, Chris Ballard's talking about an open competition at quarterback with a quarterback they bring in Richardson, you know. He gave a lot of credit to Richardson, saying that, look, he's not dancing around the fact he wasn't good enough, and that he needs to get to work, yada, yada. So
I think it's the right way to do business. Sometimes you worry about hurting the confidence of a player, but in today's NFL, you don't have time for that. You know, they benched Bryce Young. If you're the dude, if you're good
Anthony
enough.
Richardson got benched.
Right. It's like, if you are going to overcome adversity and be a great NFL quarterback, me putting you in an open competition isn't going to ruin that.
Right.
It's just not. It's impossible that you could have been that great, but I said, I made it a competition. You failed to win the job because you would have been so great if you just were gifted it.
Trey Lance.
I was going to bring him up. That's exactly right. The 49ers. They invested the number 3 pick in Trey Lance, and they just said, that's not the guy. I want to win football games. That's my goal. My goal is not to justify our picks. Our goal is to make the best picks we can, train them the best we can, and put the best product on the field.
Falcons have come out and said that Kirk Cousins will remain with the team for the foreseeable future. I don't know if that's a leverage comment from them.
You do.
We don't have good offers yet.
Yeah, you know if that's a leverage comment.
But the offers are contingent on basically Cousins maybe being willing to lose some money. So, like, you have to basically tell Kirk Cousins through the media, we'll keep you as a backup. And if you like that, you'll get paid well.
I think right now – there is still hope that a team would take on the entirety of Kirk Cousins' contract, that they would look at that and say, we need a quarterback. We don't have one. And, you know, if the Raiders look at Kirk Cousins and say, if he was on the market, we would pay him that.
No one would.
I agree. I don't think they would, but I think that's still the hope right now.
Is that for, a team for the just, Falcons?
Yes. Yeah, the Falcons just hope that someone will trade for him and take on his contract.
That's why you can't go out and say we're actively willing to trade him.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's on the books for a cool 27.5 and then 35.35 for the next 3 years.
I feel like that's not insanely outrageous for a quarterback.
For a starter?
Yeah, for a starting quarterback?
No, for a start.
That's what I'm talking about. For a team to acquire him.
Well, his cap hits 40, 57, 57.
Ooh, that's a little spicy.
So I was just talking the base salary, not the – that was just what the base is. But, yeah, he's on the books for 40, 57, and 57. They could get out with 35 dead cap in 2026, so after next year. But it's,
yeah, and
he's 37.
And other teams know that the Falcons are in a position where you just can't have – you can't pay for that for a backup quarterback, so just hold out. This will be a game of chicken that lasts too long.
Trey McBride, a priority for the Cardinals in terms of extending Trey McBride. I think we all expect and know this to be the fact.
That is the correct thing to do.
Saw that crazy stat about Kyler Murray. He's 84% passer between the hashes, middle
completion
of the field.
Completion percentage.
Yeah, 84% passer. Number one in the NFL towards the interior of the field. Trey McBride, Mike, you brought it up. That's
his zone.
It's a lot of why. And I think that's it by way of news, unless you guys had anything else that popped up, Mr. Watch Alerts over there.
I will keep looking at all times to break news.
Okay, thank you.
Coaching Carousel.
All right, well, the... revolving door of head coaches, offensive coordinators every year makes a big impact on fantasy football production. Last episode, we talked about the seven teams with head coaching and OC changes happening. Bears, Cowboys, Jags, Raiders, Patriots, Saints, and Jets. Today, we will kind of conclude that discussion and talk about teams with offensive coordinator changes only. That would be the Browns, Lions, Texans, Eagles, 49ers, Seahawks, and Buccaneers. So I don't know if you want to go through them one by one or if there's one or two names on there that stand out to you, but I think we could start with Detroit. We could talk about Detroit losing.
I think that's the big story.
Ben Johnson, because you're talking about the team with the number one scoring offense in points per game, number two in yards per game. I mean, I could read through all the metrics. They're top five in basically everything on the offensive side of the football.
And Ben Johnson took his assistant as well over with him. So they're losing a lot from an offensive coaching standpoint, and they're bringing in John Morton, who is coming over. He worked with the Lions a couple years ago,
2022,
and then he upgraded and changed teams, went to the Broncos, worked with Sean Payton for a couple of years, and now after losing, your two top offensive coaches, they have brought this man back.
I mean, I think all of us would look at the offense and probably expect some sort of regression, even small, if Ben Johnson was back, just because they were
outrageous.
It's hard
good,
to
yeah.
stay at the tippy top, although we would have a lot of confidence in them. How do you feel about this move, Mike, with Morton taking over, the consistency of offensive weapons, right? You're not rebuilding from the ground up on all your pieces and offensive system.
Yeah, I mean, you should have a strong foundation, but I think there should be concerns. Like Amon-Ra, that's fine.
I'm a big Jameson fan.
Like, this doesn't worry you at all for Jameson Williams? I mean, I guess this theoretically could be better for Jameson Williams if they get him more involved in the target share, because they already had Ben Johnson already had his ways.
I think it's more about whether you believe this team for fantasy purposes. I don't care if they're number one. But is this a team that could potentially drop out of the top 10 in terms of offensive efficiency, effectiveness, scoring? I don't think that's going to happen in Detroit under Dan Campbell's watch.
I don't think so. But it's like David Montgomery would be the biggest question mark.
I do think his role could diminish.
Because, does his role diminish a little bit, especially with how good the team looks when it's just Jahmyr Gibbs? But on top of that, if they're not going to score, I think they scored like 50-something touchdowns this year. If you're not going to do that, that's where Montgomery takes the hit.
That's his superpower.
Yes.
David Montgomery is great for fantasy football because he gets a touchdown every game. Every single game he gets a touchdown. And so if you, you know, if you're going to end up losing 10, 12 touchdowns over the course of the season, which is realistic, I would agree with you. That's the player that needs to be the scariest as far as redrafting them the way that we did last year.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. So it was 70 total. I'm looking on NFL.com right now. 70 total touchdowns for the Detroit Lions in 2024. And that number was, let me get 2023 real quick. That was 58.
I do.
In 23.
Yeah, so, I mean, I look at this offense the way I would look at Tampa Bay, like what they did last year, losing Dave Canales, the name that everybody wanted, and their offense pretty much hummed along because you have consistency and strength at the quarterback position, you know, the head coach. You know, we talked about how you lose your offensive coordinators when they do well, but I am not as worried, I guess. I can see the Monty argument, but that one is also – that one's there in general to me because of – Gibbs entering his prime, what he showed he could handle a full workload, what he brings to the table on the offensive side, and Monty's injuries. I would have been a little bit heavier Gibbs anyways than Monty. So
this is a great offense, but I do think it will take a hit. The same way that we saw a couple years ago that the Philadelphia Eagles, who, you know, when they lost their offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator in their Super Bowl run, 3 years ago, they go to the next season. It's like, well, they still have a great offensive line. They still have Jalen Hurts. They still have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And then the second half of that season, the wheels really fell off offensively for them, and then they replaced the coordinators again. So
So there's two case studies then.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Tampa Bay is an example of an offense that even improved.
Sure, yeah. Right, and I think part of that is because they added weapons. The first half of the season, they had Chris Godwin back and healthy, and then Bucky Irving was added to the offense. So we'll have to look at the personnel moves and what they do in the offseason. But they're not going to be bad. Even that season, that down season for the Eagles, Jalen Hurts was still a top quarterback. A.J. Brown was still a top wide receiver. Devontae Smith took a little bit of a hit the second half of the year. But I think it's correct to just say that the player you're most worried about is the most touchdown-reliant player.
Monty right now is the lowest of the five, not unsurprising.
He should be
of their core five fantasy options, especially an underdog. But Gibbs, Amon-Ra, Jameson, Laporta, and Monty, you know, Monty being a pick behind Laporta already, that'll be an interesting one to watch. Another team with a lot of fantasy relevant talent that changed offensive coordinators, Houston. Houston. Nick Cayley, 42 years old, coming over from the Rams. You like the sound of that. Bobby Slowick driving everyone crazy last year after being a darling during the first year of C.J. Stroud. But this was a team, just to give you a lay of the land, 19th in points per game, right? They were top 10 in passing percentage, so they put it into the hands of their quarterback. Now, they lost Stephon Diggs. They lost Tank Dell. They didn't get production outside of Nico Collins, who was hurt. So I think it's interesting with the offensive coordinator change, with how bad they were as an offense. You know, was this a perfect brew of just a bad year with all of that mixing together?
You also factor in, you know, the Houston Texans, their final offensive line grade from PFF was 29th. So, and not that, I mean, the Bengals.
It felt like it.
The Bengals are 30th, so it's not that a quarterback behind a terrible offensive line can't succeed. It is just certainly harder. And C.J. Stroud, has all the accolades we were wanting to give him heading into year two, he's not where Joe Burrow is at this point of his career. So it's just, I think that the line was the bigger problem for me, and just the crazy success rate that C.J. Stroud had his rookie year going down the field, that was going to regress, but it went to a place where we didn't dare project because it would be too sad to project that much of a regression. So I think that it comes down to that. Like, they got some young guys on the line. Can they actually improve? They did not last year, but can we have an offseason and a new coordinator figure out what to do with the talent?
I'm excited for the change. C.J. Stroud is a talented quarterback, and they wasted so many second downs last year. It was frustrating to watch. Second long, hand the ball to Joe Mixon. Second and longer, hand the ball to Joe Mixon. What are you doing? I mean, the second down, they were 28th. A lot of wasted plays there. They were dead last in play success rate on second downs in the second half of the year. This is – and that kind of crushed them. It just killed drives. So, play calling-wise, we don't know that it's an upgrade. It could be a downgrade. But I'm just happy that they're being proactive and that they looked back at the season and said, unacceptable.
Yeah, they had the 5 weeks with Dell, Collins, and Diggs together. Those were weeks in which Mixon was also very good before he got hurt. Then you had Nico sidelined with the hamstring. Then you lost Diggs to an ACL in week 8. Then you lost Tank Dell to the knee injury in December, and you never had any type of play calling that wasn't predictable, that was able to overcome the injuries. I think there's a lot to be excited about. I agree.
And this team needs to make a splash at wide receiver, though. They got to do something.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, it might be in the draft.
That's yeah,
but
that's what I mean.
You definitely – they went from a position where some people wanted to make them the best trio in football to Nico Collins standing alone at the end of the street. The Eagles, new offensive coordinator again.
And they did
– price of success.
Yeah, they did what they did the last time, which is they hired not the previous last time, but the last time they went to the Super Bowl and lost their offensive and defensive coordinators. They hired from within. It didn't work last time. Hopefully it works this time. I mean, you can't know. We don't have any knowledge on, even what his role was. So, I don't know. You got to view it kind of as same old for next year, so long as the tush push is allowed.
Well, and if you break it down player by player like we did with the Lions, who would you be more or less concerned with? Saquon had a pretty special season, right? He's going to be drafted as high as you can draft somebody in fantasy, and had a prolific 2,000-yard type of season with a lot of touchdowns from a distance, right? So I look at Saquon and say, look, nobody in the right mind should doubt him, but you could also look at the numbers and say, like, you don't do that every year.
Right.
And if you change the offense.
There are ways
in
to
some
see
ways,
how it goes.
You could regress a little bit
worse
proportion to where he's drafted.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't involved in the passing game a lot and had a ton of touchdowns and 2,000 rushing yards. That's very difficult to repeat that. The change of offensive coordinator could hurt.
This is the first head coach, Nick Sirianni, to have 4 different OCs in a 4-season span for one team.
So, and 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 ring on the finger. So I think the price, like you said, the price of success.
Yeah.
Some of these, I don't know how much it really has an impact. Like San Francisco 49ers, they got one of the Cube brothers. There's two new cubes at OC this year.
This would be the Kubiaks, right?
Yes. So they got Clay. Clay.
You almost made me say Kubiak.
Kubiak.
Because you call them cubes. Is there not 3 of them?
There are 3 brothers, but there's only...
So they're cubed.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, there's 3 brothers?
There are 3 brothers. One, I believe, is a scout for the Dallas Cowboys.
Clay and Klein? Or is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, he's scout for the Dallas Cowboys.
Clint.
We got a real Kardashian situation
Clint
going on here.
Klein and Clay, all with a K.
No.
Clay Kubiak is the offensive coordinator.
Wait, they're all with a K?
For the 49ers.
Yes, it's Kardashian.
Clint Kubiak is the offensive coordinator that was with the Broncos at one point in time.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah,
I would have spelled one with a C. You choose you. So Clay and
Klein is the one with the Cowboys.
Yeah. So you've got
and then Gary. You know what I mean? Like that's the
dad.
The dad is just there's no K there.
So they've been famous for their run scheme. The Kubiak run scheme has always been great, which is really the Shanahan run scheme. It's succeeded most places that they've gone to. For the 49ers, it's mostly irrelevant. I think it's an upgrade for them. It's nice for them to have someone in-house, but they haven't even had an OC since McDonald's left. This is simply adding another person to help with scheme and planning.
Wait, since who left?
McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Mike McDonald.
Mike McDonald.
Mike McDaniel. Now you got McDaniel. Me doing
it. See, that's what I thought.
Yeah. That's
Mike,
that's the plan.
He is ruining this name.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, since he's been gone, they haven't had an offensive coordinator.
You can't just call everybody McDonald's. You know that, right?
I only call one man McDonald's.
No, you call many people McDonald's.
I only call the head coach of the Miami Dolphins McDonald's.
So wait, you call McDaniels McDonald's, yes. But then McDonald in Seattle is just McDonald.
Yeah, because he's not plural.
So there's a okay. We do a little too much. We do a little too much with names. Yeah. I'm going to go out there and say that. Nicknames.
How dare you?
The Kubiaks.
Yeah.
The Kubiaks.
They did too much. That's right. On
Sorry.
Them.
Clay Kubiak.
So Clay is added.
He's going to fall back behind Shanahan.
Added to the 49ers. He's going to be helpful. I think he can help their offense, but he's not going to like drastically change it because that's Shanahan's offense. But Clint is a massive change. This is, you know, we talked about the run scheme and what he can bring to the table. The Seattle Seahawks won 10 games, and they made a shift. They've got a defensive-minded head coach. I think they want to run the ball a little bit more. If you look last season, they were number 5 in passing percentage, number 28 in rushing percentage. So, like, that college itch, that college game that, you know, they brought in as their former OC, Ryan Grubb, I think they just passed too much for the liking of a defensive-minded head coach. So now you bring in a Kubiak who has a great run scheme. I think this is great news for Kenneth Walker.
I am in agreement.
And, you know, maybe not so great news for, like, DK Metcalf, you know, aging, coming off down season.
Metcalf, it is tough. Like, volume-wise, yes. But it's like, can we get Metcalf back to where he was thriving, where he's an efficiency, big play type of a player.
Yeah, I guess I've grown a little fatigued on relying on offensive coaching or offensive changes to make me excited about Ken Walker. I think the only thing that can stop Ken Walker is Ken Walker.
Yes, that has been
case. It's going to be
soft,
which
tissue.
He is. He's great at it.
Yeah, he's willing to stop himself from having a great season. So, yeah, they didn't like the Grubb experience. 20th in points per game, Metcalf's regression. We'll see if Tyler Lockett's back. If he is, it'll be on a contract adjustment.
The verbiage has not been strong on that.
Tampa's doing it again, and really proud to let you all know out there.
This is the shining gem.
We I said it's names, man. This is the name show.
Yeah.
Josh Grizzard. The Grizz.
Jay Grizz himself.
I don't make this up, man. And you know what? He's 34 years old. He's way too young for the job, but the team, they did it because they knew we needed Jay Grizz to be an offensive coordinator.
It gets better, Andy. Josh Grizz.
Tell me more.
Was born in Lizard Lick, North Carolina. We got Josh Grizzard from Lizard.
Wait, he's a Grizzlies?
He's the Grizzler.
The Grizzler.
From Lizard Lick.
The Grizzler from Lizard.
Hi, what's your name? Josh Grizzard. Where were you from? Lizard.
Lizard Lick.
I'm the Grizzard from Lizard.
Lizard Lick.
This is prime offseason.
Yeah,
content.
This is good stuff.
I'm looking at Deucer's Alley. They love every minute of this. This is what you're here for.
Who's not loving hearing about Josh Grizzard from Lizard Lake?
So they went from
Duval
to Lizard Lick, baby.
It's a lot of fun.
It's not like we don't have lizard drops.
Oh, we do.
I mean, we
got cold blooded.
It's not like we haven't been around.
He can't be the lizard.
We haven't been around the block.
He's from there.
I don't know, man. I think if you're from Lizard Lick and you become the offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you are now the king of Lizard Lick.
Well, that I can agree with.
Well, wouldn't that make him the Lizard King?
Hold on. Wait. I'm trying to get some Kyle, I need a population deep dive on Lizard Lick.
It is an unincorporated town.
What does that mean?
Can we do that?
What do you mean?
Do you like the hire? Baker Mayfield gets the deal with another OC. He proved he could do it. 4th in points per game after losing Canales. 3rd in yards per game. This is one of the reasons why I don't know if I believe in Liam Cohen, genuinely. It's just because sometimes
I've got some reasons I don't believe in him.
Sometimes
Duval. Thank you.
You just come into the right situation, right, Adam Gase?
Yeah.
And sometimes you have, like, how do you know?
But who would have thought that the right situation was Baker Mayfield in 2025?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I would say the people that watched him play the year before. Why did Dave Canales get a job?
The nice thing here about Josh Grizzard replacing Liam Cohen, it's in-house. They know the system. It's also the third change. It's like the 800th change in 800 years for Baker Mayfield. He is very used to that. I don't think I will look at this offensive coordinator change at all with any predictability or any change in how I would view the players on the roster.
Yeah. So, I mean, by the way, unofficial population of Lizard Lick is 1,300 people.
Also,
there's not a lot of people that come from Lizard Lick.
You rule over 1,300 people and say it's not a lot.
Yeah, well, I guess. Making them all happy.
In March 1998, the small town received publicity when Nintendo first released the Nintendo 64 game Yoshi's Story there with the name,
'cause of Lizard
Lick. The name of the host town reflecting the Nintendo character Yoshi's ability to extend his tongue over a long distance.
Thank you.
What is happening?
This was a top 5 quarterback, top 15 running back, top 12 wide receiver offense.
I am
it was
so
a great offense.
Done talking about Baker Mayfield. If I was
Jay Grizz, Josh Grizzard is his real name. If I was Josh Grizzard, I would come in and do as little as possible to change anything.
I would just be cashing checks.
Just cashing checks.
He is going to have to call plays. That is the one thing that is concerning or uplifting for the Liam Cohen side is simply that because it's a defensive head coach, you're now the play caller. So there you go.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll do some mailbag. What's up, Foot Clan? This episode is brought to you by Vuori. Vuori is performance apparel that's designed for working out, but it doesn't look or feel like it. And let me tell you, the Ponto Performance Jogger, it's a game changer. It's part of Vuori's Dream Knit collection. It's soft, it's super soft and lightweight. And what I like about it is I can wear it. It looks casual, and then I can play some pickleball in those things. It's a performance jogger. It looks great. It's perfect for them the low impact workouts, or maybe I'll play some one on one. Maybe that high impact workout too, or maybe you're doing some yoga or some stretching, or even sitting at the desk in the studio. Whatever you do, it'll keep you comfortable for hours without sacrificing style. And they're my go-to for relaxing days at home. Go to Vuori.com/ballers to get 20% off your first purchase. Exclusions apply. Visit the website for full terms and conditions.
You want control of your financial future, and Schwab knows that. That's why when it comes to managing your wealth, we give you more choices, like full-service wealth management and advice when you need it most. You can also invest on your own and trade on thinkorswim, our powerful award-winning trading platforms. Plus, you'll get low costs, transparent pricing, and 24/7 live help. Because at Schwab, we understand it's your financial journey, and we believe you should have choices in how you invest. Visit schwab.com to learn more.
Before you get into the mailbag,
you better be reporting on this.
I don't think I'm reporting on whatever it is you think, because I have no idea what you think. I'm just saying we did not mention that the Browns also got a new offensive coordinator.
Oh, get out of here.
Tommy Rees replacing Ken Dorsey, but it's really Stefanski. He's going to call the plays now, so it's reverting back to what it used to be.
I meant Brooks told us there's a band called King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Now let me ask you this. Who's the lead singer? Because I swear I am going to freak out if you tell me it's Josh Grizzard.
I don't know.
I will freak
out.
Don't,
I can't confirm nor deny it. So
you're going to freak out?
If it's Josh Grizzard, wow.
I think they would be
freak.
That would be King Grizzard, not King Gizzard.
Okay, fair.
Oh, goodbye, man. Everybody. No, we got some mailbag.
Mailbag.
See, I don't know what's more disturbing, the fact that that name exists as a band or the fact that Brooks, knows that it exists.
Brooks, did you know them or did you just stumble into them?
Yeah, say hi, Brooks, by the way. The people, they
are
need to hear from Brooks.
Are you on the space station?
Are you on the space station?
I don't care if he's on the space station.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Hey.
Still on another planet.
Sounds a lot closer, though.
He might be in Australia with King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. All right, first question. Coming in from Lewis on Instagram, which players do you estimate to have the biggest drop in ADP this year?
So, I saw this earlier in the name I was going to bring up. We just talked about him. But I think DK Metcalf will take a tumble. He's getting older. I think people will be less excited about this offense and more excited about the JSN portion of it.
Yeah.
So he is a player that I think next year will be significantly lower than where he was this season.
Kelsey.
Oh, yeah.
Pittman.
Oh, man. Do you even draft Michael Pittman?
Those are goodness. A couple of names. Monty might end up losing some ground. I'm trying to think of some other.
Marv will drop.
Tony Pollard compared to last year. I feel like that name, unless you're really intentional about talking about it.
Pollard had a good year.
I bet there's no one that won a championship with him on the roster.
Tony Pollard was the RB22. Like the whole first half. I mean, if people don't want to draft Tony Pollard, then that's great. I'll draft him.
I know where a player has fallen, at least in underdog offseason drafts, Kyren Williams. I don't understand it. He's the 35th pick.
We don't want to believe in Kyren ever.
Dude, I am fully in. If Kyren stays anywhere remotely close to that.
That was underdog?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when we brought him up the other day, he just doesn't profile on underdog the way he'll be a first-round pick. You know what I mean? In redraft, when we did our little first-round mock, he was, right?
I think he was because of me.
You don't know. Could have if you passed on him, maybe we would have taken him.
Fair.
All right. We did not report on any Mark Andrews news, but there have been rumblings from everywhere.
Yeah.
Instagram question from Nathan wants to know, after the roller coaster season, which it was, what do we do with Mark Andrews in Dynasty? He basically disappeared, then reappeared.
Yeah.
Scored a bunch of touchdowns. I don't think it was a great fantasy experience, but if you did stick with him and you had him and you could play him down the stretch, you were fine. What do you do with him in Dynasty? Jason, you're a Dynasty manager of Mark Andrews.
I am. I think you just have to hold him and keep rolling him out there. This is the type of player where you're going to hold until the end. I don't believe you're going to get a lot for him.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you're not going to get a lot for him, he's going to score touchdowns. And even if he is traded because, you know, there's rumblings or goes to a different team, he's going to get a lot of touchdowns. Unfortunately, that's, you know, not what you'd love to bank on. You'd love to say, oh, he's getting 150 targets and I can have consistency every week. But he's, you know, he was the tight end 5 this year, and that's despite the first month of the season basically not playing football, it looked like. I mean, at least two gooses within that stretch. So he has not aged out of tight end. You know, tight ends, you can be 33, 34, 32. He's 29.
Not this one, though, I don't think.
Oh,
I don't think this one. He's aging differently to me. This is not the same explosive player that, like, we saw Kelsey maintain a level of performance consistently through this age. Mark Andrews did not look like the same player to me last year at all. Mm. He's still going to be a red zone threat, but he didn't look the same. You can't disappear for that many games.
Yeah, I mean, I
And here's a quote from the Ravens general manager that you can comment on as well. He'll be in our Ring of Honor someday. We'll figure it all out on the roster. That's a new word. Machinations? Yeah, machinations. Over the coming weeks, but there's no bigger Mark Andrews fan than me. He's been a blessing to have on the team. There was another comment earlier in the week insinuating maybe they were saying goodbye, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go back and look at some late season film because I don't remember him slowing down. Now, I definitely, obviously, for fantasy football purposes, he slowed down. The targets weren't there. Isaiah Likely stepped up. Zay Flowers got better. They started, you know, Bateman all of a sudden was an important part of the offense.
Touchdowns.
So, schematically, I don't think he is as important. You know, it used to be basically him as the primary target where he's getting, you know, 154 targets in a season. Whereas last year he had 69 targets. I don't know. I don't think he lost it. I just don't think they needed him the same way.
Targets are earned, my brother.
I agree targets are earned, but this is also an offense that was, you know.
They needed him.
They didn't. I mean, they needed him to catch the overtime tying pass, sure, but they didn't.
What do you think's more likely, though? I mean, like, Rashad Bateman's been there for a while. Why wasn't he a bigger focal point in previous years?
Well, Rashad Bateman's been injured in all the previous years. Isaiah Likely was coming into year two, and I'm obviously Mark Andrews is not getting faster and younger as he gets older. My point is, you know, Lamar Jackson threw, what did he throw, like 41 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So this was an offense that was just humming, and they were humming with wherever Lamar wanted to go. And it used to be he had to go to Mark Andrews. Now he doesn't have to. But the point of going back to the original question, I don't think anyone's trading something valuable or even as valuable as the amount of fantasy points Mark Andrews will score the rest of his career. So to me, he is just a hold on to him.
Yeah, I would hold on to him. And it is just a reminder. I mean, he was coming off of a broken ankle, the same a very similar injury to which Tony Pollard was coming off of and for 2 years ago. And Tony Pollard was very disappointing that year. And then I thought he was a much better player for the Titans than he was on Dallas 2 years ago. So they're just, I think that is a factor. I agree that he's not elite anymore, but if I got him in Dynasty, I'm just going to hold on.
61% snap share last year for Mark Andrews, which will be something you'll have to factor in. Do you roll the dice? He's the Montgomery of tight ends. You need the touchdown. But if you get it, you're really happy, and he does it a lot. So where will Drake London be drafted in 2025? This question from Dane.
Super duper high.
Yeah, he'll be a second rounder. Back of the first or second.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. People are going to be real hot for Drake.
But are you in on that? At that price?
I mean, I'm in on Drake London. I'm in on the talent. It looked like I don't know that we saw enough of Michael Penix last year to make, you know, any really conclusive decisions on is it going to work. But what did work was Penix was all about, I'm just going to throw the ball to my number one guy. So for fantasy, we like that.
Yeah, Drake London right now is the wide receiver 9. Let me ask you some names around him and see on Underdog and see if you would rather have Drake London or this player. Would you rather draft Drake London or A.J. Brown?
A.J. Brown.
I'm on the London side.
I think I go London there.
Drake London or Ladd McConkey?
London.
Drake London or Tyreek Hill?
London.
London.
Drake London or Brian Thomas?
Thomas.
Brian Thomas.
Okay, so that's basically where he is at ADP. Yeah, I mean, he's ahead of Ladd McConkey and Tyreek Hill.
Fair valued.
He's right next to A.J. Brown, and he's behind Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers.
Do you foresee this year being a little different with the way the rookie wide receivers coming in may land? I mean, because we got a great running back class.
Yeah, it will be different. There's no Malik Nabers or Marv who are going to, like, T-Mac out of U of A, even if he gets drafted as a top 10 NFL pick, we're not going, yeah, high third round pick for this rookie. No, they'll slide back, which is going to be great. Like the ADP, when you have to risk so much ADP on a rookie wide receiver, sometimes you get Malik, sometimes you get Jamar, sometimes you get Marv.
Where would be the best destination? Like best, including draft capital. So if you look at the first round, you know, like the absolute best landing spot. Would you be excited about going to New England because you believe in?
No.
Okay, so
I had a team pop
in my head right away. I don't know if it's a good.
Okay,
it was Green Bay.
Green Bay. Okay, so if he made it to Green Bay, Green Bay is 23, which in some mocks, T-Mac has fallen into the 20s.
I've seen him all over.
But for fantasy purposes, I still feel like going there. Now you're in a crowded room. It's definitely one where come out number one.
I agree.
What about Dallas?
Sure.
What about Las Vegas?
Las Vegas has a desperate need, but he doesn't have a quarterback. So I mean,
not yet.
I don't think Brady's gonna be patient.
No, Brady says if Brady's gonna be moving out of that cushy broadcast job, he's gonna be trying to win games.
So this says to me, I think Mike is correct that I don't see any location where the combination of draft capital and landing spot opportunity quarterback can coalesce to where people are really bullish on rookie season T-Mac. And he is the clear bell of the ball of the rookie wide receivers coming in. It's like, to me, there's he's in his own tier, and that tier would be behind a lot of last year's wide receivers. Even though he's number one this year, he's not as good. He's not in the tier of Malik and Marv and Brian Thomas Jr. This is a guy that's probably going to be, you know, a sixth round fantasy pick, sixth, seventh round.
If he makes it to the end of the first, there's some exciting spots.
This is the reason it even came up is you were reading all those names around Drake London, and I was just thinking about where Drake London falls in the draft. And normally you'd have a smattering of rookies kind of working their way through and into that range. And I didn't think, like, I couldn't think of any rookies ending up there.
No, they won't.
Like, if you have a, of the names you said, Brian Thomas and Drake London and Ladd McConkey, like all those guys right now, it's hard for me to find that landing spot, like you said, where I'd be like, oh, I want T-Mac.
Yeah, we might have like three rookie running backs in the top 20.
Yep. So next week we're going to cover free agent landing spot predictions as well as our top 10 things to remember episode as promised. And if you want an extra episode of the show, you can always go to jointhefoot.com, come and support our independent podcast, and you will get a bonus episode each and every week where we answer your questions. We catch you up on everything going on around here in Foot Clan headquarters with all of the new developments and personnel and the apps we're building out for you and everything going on with the community. So you can check that out at jointhefoot.com. And I guess it's worth a final reminder since this is the last show before the March 1st deadline. But if you pre-order the UDK before March 1st, you will be entered to win, not wintered.
No. We're getting warmer.
It's already 90
entered
degrees
to
here.
Win a listener league spot at UltimateDraftKit.com.
Yeah, and you can do both. You know, what is it? Two birds with one stone. If you are an ultimate,
let me check my watch. Yep, that's it.
An Ultimate Foot Clan member at jointhefoot.com, you are automatically entered into that drawing. You have the UDK, you have the extra bonus episode, everything you want.
That's a big stone.
That's a big stone.
If you're getting two birds,
yeah, as some call
it,
a boulder.
Move.
All right, that'll do it. Take care, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.